Good afternoon, Jade.
Hi.
Wow, what a bunch of accomplishments you've had. It's, you know, are you still coming down? This happened only about 2 weeks ago, right? And are you still buzzing?
Yeah, I mean, coming back into normal life, you're forced to be normal again. It's going to take a bit of adjustment, but
yeah,
I'm getting there.
All right, let's explain what this is. You've done the polar hat trick, which means you've gone to the North Pole, the South Pole, and Greenland. Why is it called the polar hat trick, first of all, and what does it actually mean?
Well, it's the big three polar expedition. So obviously both poles and Greenland, which is the second largest ice cap on the planet.
Ah, okay. So that's why Greenland's included.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's basically doing a trick for on skis to those poles. Is that what you did for each one?
Yeah, cross-country skiing, pulling a sled, sleeping in tents.
Yeah, and you were unsupported. What does that mean? Does that mean you were actually by yourself? You had a guide with you?
Yeah, so South Pole was unsupported, unassisted, which means that we weren't supported by kites or vehicles, and we didn't have any food drops by air.
Oh, okay, so everything you need, you're carrying with you.
Yeah, yeah.
And so how heavy is this sled that you're taking with you?
My sled started off around 100 kilos at the start.
So the more you eat, the lighter it gets, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But 100 kilos. I did see some pictures of you dragging tires along and trying to, you know, you prepare for this trip in certain ways. Was the preparation that you did, was it, obviously it was sufficient to get you there, but was it sort of, did you think when you're on the trek, man, I should have prepared more, or did you feel like you were fully prepared?
I mean, I probably prepared, like, physically the least for this trip out of the three.
Okay.
But, I mean, a lot of it's muscle memory, and it's kind of, it's all in the head anyway. So if you turn up, the first week sucks always. So you kind of just suffer, and then you get used to it anyway. And if you can tell yourself that, then I think you can sort of get through anything.
Yeah, sure. Now, your dad, I understand, was a bit of a mountaineer sort of guy, a bit of an adventurer as well.
Yes.
And you sort of would have picked this up from him and I guess that sense of adventure and wanting to try and do
things.
What was their, your parents' sort of reactions to you wanting to do this and were they fully supportive?
Yeah, always. They've always been supportive of the dreams that I've had.
Yeah.
And for our family, I think this was kind of just normal. Like, it was just another trip that Dad and I were sort of setting ourselves.
Yeah, it's normal. It doesn't seem normal to anyone else, I don't think. But but I love that you think it is and that you feel like, you know, this is just another, you know, another trek, another holiday. We're just going to the South Pole. See ya.
Yeah, yeah.
The idea of the polar hat trick, though, obviously, you know, it was something the idea must have popped up from somewhere. What was it that sparked it?
My family and I did a trip to Everest Base Camp a couple of years ago.
Yep.
And we were trekking with an expedition aiming to reach the summit, so all of the mountaineers. And part of that group was an Icelandic lady, Villa, and she'd skied to the South Pole solo a couple of years before that. And I spent a lot of time with her hearing about her experiences and her stories. And I think that's kind of what sparked it, how it started. And then it was like a year later that I decided that it was something that I wanted to do.
And did you know the records before? Like, did you know that you, by doing this before a certain date, you'd become the youngest person to do it?
I knew about some of them, like some of the basic ones, like the youngest. But a lot of them I found out along the way. And for me, it wasn't really about the records. It was just about the experience. And then these sort of exciting records came with it.
Yeah, yeah. I guess you don't do things for records. You do it for the experience and for the...
Yeah.
But then those things are always nice to have along with it.
Yeah.
Okay, how cold does it really get? Like, you, what are you wearing and how much clothing have you got on and what do you do to try and keep warm?
We had a couple of days of minus 50 wind chill. It's just horrific.
Yeah.
You have to keep moving and sometimes I'd be moving with like six layers, normally about four or five, but you just do everything that you can to keep warm and you can't expose skin either.
Yeah, at all, I guess. And that sort of temperature, you'd just be frostbite straight away, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I read somewhere that one of your guys or someone who was around at that time said the conditions were as bad as they could be at, right?
Yeah, our guide, he's been guiding in those regions for like 25 years, and he said it was the toughest season he's had in terms of weather.
Wow. And you did it. Like, I can't, that's what an accomplishment. It must have felt so good to see that. What was it, the base station? Was that the end or the actual pole itself?
Yeah, the South Pole station. Yeah. We were coming from behind.
Okay. It was like a new route that you said as well. How are these things determined? Because I guess there'd be existing routes people are used to, but you took a totally new route. How was that chosen?
Well, our guide was studying the route by aerial photograph, and then he brought it up with us and asked if it was something that we wanted to do.
Right.
And then we decided that it was.
Ah, cool. So, but did you come up anything surprising on that route that maybe you weren't expecting or they didn't know about?
I mean, we were constantly coming across things that we didn't expect because a lot of it you can't see from the air, like
sure.
A lot of crevasses, a lot more than we had expected, and like a lot more climbing than we had expected.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if you saw a crevasse, I mean, you'd be looking very hard, I presume, to make sure you don't fall down any of these things. But
yes.
What do you do if there's one in front of you on the path that you're going to go? How do you get across?
Well, normally if we couldn't find a way around it, then our guide would probe like with his, walking stick to see if we could get across and then he would go first. but if we were in the middle of a crevasse field, we'd rope up just in case someone did fall in. Okay. But our cameraman did actually fall into a crevasse and he was all right. But, the other three guys in the group were up the front and I was at the back because we were filming together. And I just pulled my pants down to go to the toilet.
Oh, yeah.
And then I hear this yell and I look up and he's chest deep in a crevasse, trying
wow.
to get out. So I unclip and I start running towards him with my pants down. it was full on, but he got out. He was all right.
Okay, so it wasn't a deep crevasse. It was sort of like, more like a hole.
Oh, no. I walked past it and it went straight down to black.
Seriously,
But he was lucky.
Well, sounds like you got out of that nicely.
Yeah.
Do you get to name any? Are there any late landmarks you can go? I claim this as Jade Hermeister as my place. Can you do that anyway?
Well, on the glacier that no one had ever been to on foot before, which was part of our new route, the Kansas Glacier, it was basically surrounded by mountains and like snow ridges. So a lot of those unnamed peaks. We were just naming it just for fun. We haven't actually lodged them yet, but it was just a bit of fun.
Oh, it sounds awesome. I'd love to have a mountain or a hill or whatever named after you. Perfect. What an achievement.
Yeah.
So you're home now. I guess you're a couple of weeks later. You've probably accustomed to the heat in Melbourne where it's hitting 40-odd degrees last week. you straight back to school in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, back to school next Tuesday.
Oh, wow. That's going to be an adjustment.
Yeah, definitely.
And what next? You've done the polar hat trick. It sounds like you've done base camp as well. What's next on the Jade calendar?
I've kind of been limited to school. Yeah. So year 11 and 12, and then after that I can sort of decide.
Maybe a relaxing holiday next. Maybe somewhere with some sun.
Yeah.
Sounds like you like the snow better, though.
Oh, no, I love the beach, but it's definitely addictive.
Well, congratulations. It's a fantastic effort. You are now a true Aussie legend. Congratulations.
And
I look forward to seeing what comes next after you've finished your school, I guess. But maybe you can sneak something in the middle. You never know. Thanks a lot for chatting to us here at 2SER.
Thank you.